Ian, good afternoon. The former Attorney General Dominic Grieve has questioned whether new anti-terrorism measures announced by David Cameron are legal. Under the proposals, individuals who go abroad to fight for extremist groups would be blocked from returning to the UK for at least 2 years unless they complied with strict conditions. The Director of Liberty is Shami Chakrabarty. She says she's got major concerns.
What the government seems to be saying is we won't exclude people from the UK unless they refuse to face effectively punishment without trial, and that to me is an enormous abuse of power, and I don't think the courts are going to wear that as anything better than exiling people or rendering them stateless.
BBC WM has learned that lawyers acting for one of the Birmingham pub bombings victims are calling for an inquest into the tragedy, which killed 21 people and left around 200 injured. He also believes the West Midlands police investigation into the crime could have breached the Human Rights Act. Six men were convicted of the killings in 1974 but later cleared, and no one's ever been brought to justice. Kevin Winters is a human rights lawyer who's worked with other victims' families in Northern Ireland.
There's an ongoing duty and obligation on the part of the authorities, and in particular West Midlands Police, to actually get to the bottom of what happened. These families have received a very, very poor service in terms of justice and truth closure. They've got nothing near it at all.
A man's been arrested on suspicion of assault after an incident in Edgbaston this morning. Armed police were called to a domestic incident in Bullas Croft just after nine. A 24-year-old was detained and a gas-powered air pistol was seized. Prime Minister David Cameron has said that British men and women who go abroad to fight with the Islamic extremists will only be allowed to come home under certain conditions. The government's outlined plans, which make it illegal for them to come back for up to 2 years. The European Space Agency says its robotic probe has started drilling into the comet it landed on 2 days ago, but that no scientific data has been received from the procedure yet. It's thought the lander may be entering its last day of usable power because its solar panels are in the shade. And hundreds of events are taking place around the West Midlands today to raise money for children in need. A group of workers at Sandwell Council have challenged themselves to climb the height of Kilimanjaro in 6 hours using the indoor climbing wall at Portway Lifestyle Centre in Albury. Chrissy Foster helped organise it.
We've got loads of volunteers. Everybody's given up their own leave today to come, and we've all covered our own costs of hiring out the instructors for the day. I think we've got about 30 people climbing, and we've got ground volunteers recording. It's mad in here at the moment.
And the weather, drier and brighter this afternoon, highs of 13 Celsius, 55 Fahrenheit. Tonight, largely dry with some showers, lows of 5 Celsius, 41 Fahrenheit. Tomorrow, showers in the morning, gradually dying out to leave a mostly dry and sunny Saturday with highs of 12 Celsius, 54 Fahrenheit. BBC WM, 95.6 News. There's more online at bbc.co.uk/WM.
That'll do.
Ian Lee.
On BBC WM.
95.6.
The voice of Birmingham and the Black Country.
Lots to talk about this afternoon. I've had 2 weeks off. One because I was poorly. I lost my voice. Some of you are going, ah, sing hosannas. My voice is back, although it's still a little gruff. I have no higher register. Listen. Still can't do a high-pitched scream. So if I see a spider or an attacker comes towards me, well, then I'm in big, big trouble because nobody's going to know about it. And I was off last week because I booked it off. These things happen. Lots to cram in the show to make up for lost time. Coming up later on, apparently fat people can't tell that they're fat. They're in denial about it, and that's part of the problem. We'll talk about that in a little bit. We'll also talk about what would you eat if you had to eat to survive. But first things first. This comet and this probe and this nonsense that's going on about this comet and indeed this probe, I don't get it. I've kind of pretended to be caught up in the excitement because I think that's the official BBC line. As any conspiracy theorist will know, we're not allowed to have our own opinions here at the BBC. So I've been pretending I'm excited by this probe. Who could be excited about a probe? But just make your own jokes at home, please. I had to have one once. All gentlemen should have them at some point in their life, a little probe, and boy oh boy, it makes your eyes water. Anyway, but I've been thinking about it, like, I couldn't give a stuff about this probe that's landed on this comet. I still don't quite understand. No one's been able to explain to me what this probe is actually meant to tell us. 03453 009956. We'll open the phone line straight away on this. First of all, is there anybody that agrees with me, or am I a lone voice shouting in the wind? Secondly, can anyone tell me what this flipping probe is meant to tell us. Someone said, oh, yeah, well, it would tell us about how the Earth was created. Sorry, how is it going to do that? Has it got, like, a little book in there? Has it got a video in there that we're going to watch? How is it going to tell us? So we spent, I don't know, let's make up a figure, millions of pounds planning this thing. It's been up in space. It's taken 10 years for it to get onto this comet. Did you see all of the geeks and the boffins celebrating in the week? Some of those guys and gals were getting it for the first time ever. And it's landed. Except, here's something you didn't predict. It's solar-powered, so what does it need to power it? Solar energy. The sun. It's landed in a shadow. So it ain't got no sun. So guess what, boffins? It's not worked. It's now drilling away. It's probing the comet. But apparently, I've just seen this online. I'm assuming this is true, because as we know, everything online, of course, is factually correct. I've just seen it online that it hasn't got enough energy to send the data back to us. Yeah, so it's pointless. It's literally the most pointless thing, well, not even in the world. It's the most pointless thing in the universe right now. 03453-009956 is the telephone number, if you want to give us a call on that. Can anybody explain to me, please, what's so special about this flipping probe? A waste of money. Oh, can I throw a statistic into the mix? 25,000 old people will die in England and Wales this winter because they can't afford their heating. You still so keen on that rocket now, scientists? Not enough congos and bongos in songs these days. Come on, Coldplay. Come on, Backstreet Boys. I mean, are they? Come on, S Club 7. Oh. S Club 7 are getting back together tonight for Children in Need. Of course, as an employee of the BBC, I absolutely love Children in Need, and I think it's great entertainment. Did that sound convincing? But, I will be watching, well, I will look on the internet afterwards for the footage of S Club 7 back together. I interviewed S Club 7 years ago when they were at their peak. OK, it was on the second floor of a building. They got the lift up. During that lift ride from the ground floor to the second floor, Bradley fell asleep. And they're all wee. The S Club 7 kids are tiny. They kind of come up to your belly button. I mean, I'm a tall fella, I'm 6'3". But they all come up to your belly button. They're like leprechauns. They're like wee little leprechauns. And I'm looking forward to them getting back together. This probe that's landed on a comet, I don't get what all the fuss is. Gene, are you excited by this nonsense?
Anything but...
Oh, go on, tell me. That's it, Jean. Cough it up. It might be a gold watch.
Yep.
Tell me what your feelings are on this comet, my love.
Complete and utter waste of time and money.
Yeah.
Yes, I don't normally agree with what you say, I must
Sorry?
Admit, but I'm with you 110% on this.
It's not mathematically possible, but...
Yeah, well, you know what I mean.
I do kind of speak the truth, though, Jean, most of the time. I'm surprised you disagree with a lot of what I say.
Mm.
Oh. It's a load of rubbish. I've been told by my producer, Joe, it's cost 1.4 billion euros.
What a waste.
It's about
of money.
Let's round it down. It's about £1 billion.
Yeah. I could find far better things to use money on that.
What would you use £1 billion for?
Well,
nice pair of slippers.
Yeah, it would be rather nice. Nice holiday and looking after people of my own age.
Here's the thing, Jean. 25,000 people, elderly people, will die this year in England and Wales because they can't afford the heating.
Yeah.
And we've spent £1 billion on a rocket that's not even working.
Yeah, ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous.
What would anything get you excited about space? Supposing they sent Buzz Aldrin back to the moon, would that get you excited?
No, because I don't believe he landed in the first place.
Oh, Jean. Oh, Jean, you naughty little lady. Why, do you not think it happened?
No, I don't.
Oh.
No, I don't. Looking at the pictures and one thing, no, I think it was a fake.
Why would they fake it?
I don't know, but I think space travel's a waste of time and effort.
Jean, thank you very much. What's the furthest you've ever been, Jean?
Norway.
There we go. Jean's not a fan. Dave, we landed on the moon. That happened, didn't it?
It's debatable.
Well, is it? There's a great clip on YouTube. Buzz Aldrin is... if you want to read a book, a depressing yet wonderful book, Buzz Aldrin's autobiography, because after he landed on the moon, second man on the moon, he got really depressed and he became an alcoholic. And his life went... he's fine now, which is why we can kind of enjoy it. But his life went miserable. He ended up being a used car salesman. Okay, there was no response there. But there's a great clip on YouTube, right, of Buzz Aldrin. He's about 88 years old, and these Australians of all people, Dave, go up to him with a video camera and a microphone and say, Mr Aldrin,
yes,
you didn't really land on the moon, did you? What? You didn't really land on the moon. It was a hoax. It was a fake. And do you know what Buzz Aldrin does?
No.
Lamps him one. He's 88 and he smacks the fella. Now, I don't condone physical violence, but if you're an 88-year-old man that's been to the moon, I think you're allowed to punch a cheeky Australian.
Well,
Dave, I'm getting the feeling you don't want to have a conversation with me, so I'm just going to sit back and let you do your piece.
This probe thing, it's not a waste of money. That could spend it on other things. There's people who haven't got food. There's the old people who haven't got the money for eating. You know, they could spend it on them. It's a complete waste of time, innit?
Dave, are you all right? You sound a bit down, mate.
No, I've got...
I've got a bit of a sore throat.
Oh, this is why I was off. There's a lot of it going round. I had a sore throat and no voice. Normally you're so full of spunk and vim and vigour, and today you're a bit flat.
Oh, well, I had the wind knocked out my sails last week. Somebody won the presenter of the year, didn't they?
Well, Dave, exactly. and you must have been sat at home going, fair play, they've chosen the right fella to win that. Thank you, Dave. I'm going to take that as congratulations. 03453 00956. Was the probe, the rocket, the comet, is it a waste of time and money? Sean Elvidge is from the University of Birmingham Astronomical Society. It's a waste of 1.4 billion euros, isn't it, Sean?
Well, yeah, sure. No, I mean, it's not. That's not very much money, though, is it?
So, what? So, 1.4 billion euros?
Yeah.
It's quite a bit of money.
It is, but that's 1.4 billion euros over 20 years.
Oh, yeah, when you put it like that.
That works out, and that's for the entire EU budget.
Right.
So I reckon I just worked that out to be about €3.50 per EU citizen over the last 20 years.
I want my €3.50 back. That works out about £2.70. What's it going to... Sean, what's it going to do? No one's been able to tell me exactly why we're doing this and what we hope to learn from it.
OK, that's a reasonable question.
Thank you. I'm glad you think so.
Yeah. Well, I think the first thing is that the sort of... We expect comets to sort of be the what the universe was like.
Right.
The early universe.
Sort
of, without the chemical reactions we've seen on Earth. So some of the fundamental questions that sort of humans ask is sort of about life, where it comes from, what's happened.
So this will be able to tell us where life comes from and how we got there.
Oh, I wouldn't like to commit that it will definitely know the answer, but the idea is it can push us in the right direction. And basically, we've spent the whole of human history just trying to learn more. We always strive.
But I still don't know what it's going to learn us.
Well, so okay, we're interested in perhaps what kind of proteins and oxygen structures are actually on the comet itself. So potentially, what can be the sort of catalysts for life, which is clearly a fundamental question.
Yeah.
Which is really the only thing we can find by visiting it and exploring it and trying to...
But they've muffed it up, haven't they? It's landed in shade, it's drilling now, it's actually probing, but it's not got enough battery to send us the results back. So that's 1.3 billion euros wasted.
Okay, so, yeah, okay, I'm glad you mentioned that. So the point, it is easy to think that the lander part, which obviously, yeah, has some shade, so we're not exactly sure if it's going to be able to continue functioning. They are going to, later tonight, try and move it into a bit more sunlight.
Yes.
But the Rosetta mission itself is where the 1.4 billion is total. The actual lander on its own is about 200 million, I believe.
So hang on, what? So the Rosetta mission was just getting it there?
No, so the Rosetta mission has... I mean, observing the comet and doing spectral analysis and doing lots of analysis of the comet can be done remotely from Rosetta, not just the lander. The lander is always going to have been just a small part of the mission. So it's definitely not the whole mission.
But if you're observing it from a distance, then you're not going to be able to find out about the proteins and the oxygens in the rock.
Oh, you can, though, because you can analyse the... You can use instruments to analyse things without being after physically touching them, but you have to be reasonably close to be able to do this.
Sean, very quickly, and I know that I can tell that you're very passionate about this, so I appreciate you coming on and being a good sport. But how is this going to improve my life?
Good question.
Thank you very much indeed. Any answer?
Well, I guess the starting answer is you don't always know. Because my best example is to give you that... When NASA have been funded over the last 40 years or so, you don't know what you're going to get from it. But scratch-resistant lenses, I mean, I'm wearing glasses right now, they have scratch-resistant lenses, they were developed by NASA.
Hang on a minute.
Memory foam, you might have a bed with memory foam.
So we've got comfy beds and glasses that don't scratch, all because of the space program.
In-ear thermometers.
Sean, listen, when do we find out what exactly is going on with this probe?
So hopefully it'll be back in communication tonight.
Okay.
So that's the hope. And then assuming that we get back in contact, then they're going to try and move the probe and we'll see what happens then.
Hang on.
But the Rosetta mission itself will continue, even if the lander stops, until at least mid next year, continuing doing
Sean, listen, you've been a very good sport. I appreciate you coming on and defending your argument robustly. Sean Elvidge, University of Birmingham Astronomical Society. So what we've managed to get so far from all of the space missions, non-scratch glasses and memory foam. Worth it? 03453 009956.
Pete Morgan at breakfast.
Claire Peters from Walsall Wood. She's been treated for ovarian cancer.
Good evening, everybody.
I'm going to have a lot of chemo.
Right.
Right through till January.
Claire, I've got somebody on the line.
Morning. Hi, Claire.
Oh, God, it's me, my Julie Webber.
I'm sorry it's not Noddy Alder.
Just thank you so much from the bottom of my heart.
Claire, it's almost like people love you.
Oh, and I love everyone as well. Because I love to put smiles on people's faces, and that's what I live for.
Pete Morgan at breakfast, Monday to Friday, 6 till 9.
BBC WM 95.6.
We also got Teflon. When you look at the list of things we've got from space, it's not really... Well, Teflon. OK, right, so I can cook scrambled eggs and it doesn't stick. 03453, yes, I have tried to clean a scrambled egg pan. And do you know what? I can just about do it. It's fine. 03453 009956. Alan's in Woodgate. Good afternoon, Alan.
Afternoon, it's the Plum here.
Hello, Plum. Sugar Plum Fairy.
But the comet is a waste of money.
Yeah?
They should have gave that money to children in need.
Oh, yeah, I suppose they could have done. Are you having are you enjoying the enforced jollity?
Oh, I'm having my legs waxed.
Sorry?
I'm having my legs waxed.
Thanks very much for calling, Alan. 03453 009956. Love Adam Man, haven't you? Anybody else a bit disappointed by the I'm a Celebrity lineup? Bit poor, isn't it? Bit poor. Could have been better. Hey, Hey, get this. Did I tell you this, Producer Joe? Guess who they asked to be on I'm a Celebrity this year? Me. Yeah, someone obviously dropped out because I got a phone call last week saying, do you fancy I'm a Celebrity? When is it? Next week? I'm not so sure. I said no. I should have got... It's a poor lineup. Michael Burke, Tinchy Strider, a motorcyclist and Vicky Michelle from Hello Hello. That's it. Really? It's a bit poor, isn't it, Rob?
It's very poor.
Very, very poor. I'd have livened it up in there.
Aye, that was a good tune, that was.
Bit of Adam and the Ants. You can't go wrong with Adam Ant.
Better than this rubbish I tune out today, son.
Oh, this is proper music, isn't it? It's proper songs, proper music made by people who set the trends. And did... Hey, saying that, though, Rob, are you excited that S Club 7 are getting back together?
No, I'm not.
Oh. You're not a fan of Joe O'Meara, Bradley, Tina, Paul, John Paul, George and Ringo?
While they're getting back together, they're short of cash or something?
Yeah, of course. And they're short. Oh, well. They're really wee people, and they're short cash. Why does any band get back together? Because they are short of cash.
Yeah, hey, listen, I want to congratulate you on your award.
Well, there you go. Thank you, Rob.
But, listen...
Ah...
I heard a little snippet of your speech.
Uh-oh.
Whether it was all the speech or some of the, or not, I don't know. But the bit that I heard...
Yes?
It's, you said something like, I'd like to thank... You.
Hello? Rob? Rob?
Mention anything about us.
What, the listeners?
My show, man.
Rob, I'm really sorry. The line's breaking up, so we have to let you go. That's a shame. I did win an award. I am apparently the best presenter on BBC Local Radio. I thank Producer Joe. But Rob, I apologise if I left you out of my acceptance speech. That is absolutely awful and inappropriate. 03453 009956. What's the point of this flipping comet and this rocket? It's not worked, has it? It's landed in the shade. It's going to start drilling, but we've lost contact. We're not going to get the results. And I'm a Celebrity. The I'm a Celebrity camp is being hit with a plague of huge ticks, venomous spiders and deadly snakes. Yeah, they asked me to do it, and I did think about it. I thought about it for about 5 minutes, and then I went, actually, do you know what? It's very flattering, but I'm going to say no. Would have been a lot of money. Also would have been a lot of hassle. It's a very poor lineup, though. Vicky Michelle, she was the sexy French waitress from Hello, Hello. Who else? Oh, there's that woman from Melanie Sykes, that woman. It's not a great lineup, is it, at all? I don't think. There's no one in there that's got me going, oh, ho, ho. There's no Johnny Rottens or that woman, that Gillian McKeith or anybody like that. There's no one that's got me frothing at the mouth with excitement. It would have been me, yes, I know. I'm the whole 03453 009956. Let's get the travel news now on BBC WM 95.6. Here's Liz Saul. Liz, are you there? Oh, I may have muffed up the computer. Can you put Liz... I've put the Liz on the wrong fader, Joe. Is there any way you can... What? Huh? What? I tell you what, let's... With the travel, basically, there'll be stuff on the roads. It'll be a little bit blocked up. Who's there?
Hello.
Who's that?
It's Matt.
Are you doing the travel?
I am, yes.
Oh, Matt, I've been incorrectly given the name Liz.
Oh, well, I can't do a very good Liz, I'm afraid.
Can I call you Liz and we'll just never mention this ever again?
If you want, yeah. Hopefully no one will hear.
Let's get the travel news. Here's Liz.
Thank you. We'll start on the northbound M42. A lane closed because of a breakdown between Junction 4 for Shirley and Dorridge and Junction 5. That's the Solihull turn. The left-hand lane of 4 there closed. Traffic a little heavy. Still slow on the southbound M6 where there was an accident earlier just after Junction 14 for Stafford. Traffic back towards Stafford services. Worth bearing in mind if you're heading up the A38, there's a lane closed when you get towards Barton because of emergency repairs there after a manhole collapsed. In Smethwick, the high street is still closed after a water main burst between Stony Lane and the A4030. And getting reports in Solihull of flooding on Henwood Lane around Hampton Lane. It's the Ford there which has flooded. If you can update us, call BBC WM 95.6 Travel on 08453 00228.
Thank you very much, Liz. Let's get the news now. Here's Chris Blake.
The voice of Birmingham and the Black Country. BBC WM 95.6.
Thank you, Ian. Prime Minister David Cameron has said that British men and women who go abroad to fight with Islamic extremists will only be allowed to come home under certain conditions. The government has outlined plans which make it illegal for them to come back for up to 2 years. A man's been arrested on suspicion of assault after an incident in Edgbaston this morning. Armed police were called to a domestic incident in Bullas Croft just after nine. A 24-year-old man's been detained and a gas-powered air pistol was also seized. A six-year-old boy from Coventry is thought to have become the youngest ever qualified computer specialist. Ayan Qureshi took an exam on using a computer operating system when he was just 5 years old. It's something usually done by university students studying to become IT technicians. And hundreds of events are taking place around the West Midlands to raise money for children in need. At one of them, a group of workers at Sandwell Council have challenged themselves to climb the height of Kilimanjaro in 6 hours using an indoor climbing wall. And the weather, drier and brighter this afternoon, highs of 13 Celsius, 55 Fahrenheit. Tonight, largely dry with some showers, and tomorrow, showers in the morning, gradually dying out even to leave a mostly dry and sunny Saturday, highs of 12 Celsius, 54 Fahrenheit.
The voice of Birmingham and the Black Country, BBC WM 95.6.
So already we've covered I'm a Celebrity. What a poor lineup. What a poor lineup. Michael Burke, really? Although, doesn't he look good with a beard? Does he look good with a beard? He looks very good with a beard, but he doesn't excite me enough to make me want to watch it. Maybe I should have done it. I don't know. Never mind. And we're also talking about this whole Rosetta project and the space mission and all of this stuff. I don't get it. I don't understand what the excitement is. And we had a young lad there who was trying to explain what was so important about it, but didn't really explain it to me. I still don't know what we're learning. I'm joined by Andrew Steele, who's a physicist. Afternoon, Andrew.
Good afternoon.
You have done the costing for this whole Rosetta mission.
Yes.
How much has it cost us?
It's cost us 1.4 billion euros spread across all the members of what's called the European Space Agency. So that's most of the countries in Europe, and a bit of a chipping in from Canada as well.
What are Canada doing with it?
Well, they seem to be, they just contribute a small amount of money to this massive international organisation that means that we've all chipped in together through our tax money. The project's been going since 1996. It's going to come to an end sometime next year. So in total, it's cost us about €3.50 per person in Europe.
Yeah.
And that's about 20 euro cents, so maybe 15 or 16 pence per person per year.
It's a waste of money, isn't it?
Absolutely not. No, this is really, really important basic science because we're flying out, we're looking at this, we've managed to land on a comet that's moving at kilometres per second. We've swung this space probe around incredibly precisely, landed this tiny lander on to study the origins of the solar system.
Didn't put good enough batteries in there.
Well, unfortunately not, no. So it's landed at a bit of an angle. We're not quite sure what's going to happen to it. But even so, to have got this far is an incredible achievement for science and engineering.
But I don't understand what the achievement is. And if sending the probe there and it's not got, you know, Duracells in, and so we're not going to get any results from it, well, it is a waste of money and time. It's a waste of 20 years.
Obviously the scientists will be upset that everything hasn't gone exactly as planned. But even though the orbit is only going to have perhaps another 10 or 20 hours of battery life left, they're still doing some science now. They started drilling this morning, so they've been putting a drill down.
We've lost contact with it, though, so we might not get the results of the drilling. Is that right?
It's possibly true, yeah. I've not followed it in the last couple of hours, I'll be honest. But yeah, so it's a bit touch and go. But whatever happens, we've still got the orbiter that's going around the comet, getting amazing photographs of the first time we've ever been this close to one of these fast-moving, dirty snowballs flying through our solar system. So it's an incredible achievement for science.
There was a fella on Radio 4 last night.
Mm-hmm.
And he was saying, we've just got the first pictures back from the comet, and I'll try and describe them to you now. Well, this is the closest we've ever been to a comet. It looks like a big piece of coal. Well, flipping it, we spent 20 years to go and take a picture of some coal. Go to my nan's house.
But the thing is, this coal has been around for the last 5 billion years. It's been around since the origin of the solar system. And by looking at the different chemical elements that we find on the surface of that comet, we can start to understand how our solar system formed and maybe even how life formed here on Earth.
Only if we can get the probe to work.
Absolutely.
And the probe isn't working and it's going to run out of battery tonight.
All our fingers have to be crossed. And so there's actually another little bit of optimism.
Yeah,
the probe has solar panels. The problem is it's landed in a place where those solar panels are quite shaded.
Yeah.
But it might be that as the comet gets closer to the sun, as it spins around and changes the direction it's pointing a bit, the probe might get some more sunlight and it might come back out of hibernation. So it'll go into hibernation when its batteries run out. It might come back out of hibernation and be able to deliver us some results maybe in a couple of months' time.
The thing is, though, Andrew, if it gets too close to the sun, which it will do on its trajectory, mm-hmm. it's going to melt.
Absolutely. So, yeah, in March, it's going to be sufficiently close to the sun that the probe on the surface will die, whatever happens.
How is my life going to be better as a direct result of this?
Because what this does is creates loads and loads of jobs. It's not as though we sent 1.4 billion euros on, you know, on a rocket up to the comet. It's created jobs in science and engineering throughout the EU. It's a huge international project that inspires the next generation of scientists. At the same time, the engineering know-how we get from this goes on to affect all different forms of all different things. So, for example, the Beagle probe, which is something that we touched down or tried to touch down on the surface of Mars.
Yes.
Some technology that we use for chemical sampling on that is actually currently being used in breathalyzers in Africa, sort of new electronic kind of breathalyzer. So just you get the most bizarre spin-outs, and these projects that sound as though they're totally irrelevant can have incredibly important impacts on our lives.
But you've not told me what that impact will be.
Well, we don't know, and that's the point. So you invest this tiny amount of money, we give €3...
No, you can't say it's a tiny amount of money. You can't break it down. 1.4 billion euros is a big amount of money.
Yeah, but it's spread across a large number of people.
But here's the thing.
Think about these
here's the thing, right? Here's the thing. On a serious note, 25,000 old people are going to die this year in this country, England and Wales, because they can't afford their heating. Why are we looking outwards when perhaps we should be looking inwards first?
Because the thing is that it's the science and technology, by investing in these things, we can come up with ways to make energy generation more efficient, we can come up with better healthcare, and ultimately these small investments that we do make in science have repercussions that are far beyond the direct impact we could have by spending the money on, for example,
Andrew,
trying to look after old people.
Nice to talk to you, Andrew Steele, physicist. I'd like to be Andrew's in Andrew's family if 1.4 billion euros is considered to be not much money. They've been good, these boffins we've had today. They've been good sports. Good sports, aren't they, Ranjit? Unlike you, you're miserable.
Hiya, mate.
Hello, Ranj. Nice to talk to you, fella. I've not missed you at all.
How's your rope sores? Are they better?
How my what?
Rope sores.
My rope sores? Have I been on the ropes, have I?
You've always on the ropes.
Never on the ropes, mate. I'm in complete control. No. I'm a master.
Anyway,
I don't know, Ranjit, do you know why I wasn't here last week?
He was on holiday, wasn't he?
Nope.
Catching your reward.
There, ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much, Ranjit. Yeah. You are speaking to, and I don't like to blow my own trumpet, I don't have one. Mm. You are speaking to the best presenter on the BBC local radio.
Yeah. Well done, congratulations.
So, Ranjit, you should be honoured. I hope you're kneeling down. I hope you're genuflecting. Are you genuflecting now?
I don't understand big words.
No, of course you don't, Ranjit. That's another reason why I run rings around you. What have you got for
us? You cut that other fella off for? That Rob, he was on about your reward and you kept saying there was bad interference.
His line broke down, Ranj.
I know. I could hear him.
Well, good for you, Ranj. Would you like to get to your point or should I cut you off?
Listen, you know, if you went back 20, 30 years ago, right, when people were saying we're launching satellites into the sky, you wouldn't have had satellite communications. The rewards of these things probably come not in our lifetime,
Ranjit,
in the generation.
Ranjit, 25,000 old people are going to die this year in this country.
Okay. How much has these foreign conflicts cost this country and the rest of the world?
Well, it's not an either or. It's not they've cost us trillions.
They've cost us trillions.
Yeah.
All for power.
Yeah. Some of them are for freedom. Some of them are for power.
Some of them for
oil.
Freedom, some of them for mainly power.
Right.
You know these space explorations. Yeah.
Yes,
famous medical explorations, whatever.
What's a medical exploration?
Well, somebody like who discovered penicillin.
When you go to the proctologist
and stuff like that. Yeah.
Yeah, that wasn't penicillin. Do you know how penicillin was discovered?
It's like a mold, wasn't it? Yeah.
Yeah. And how was it discovered?
Well, I don't know.
It wasn't. Well, no, you don't. So you can't say it was a medical exploration.
Well,
he left something on his windowsill. He came back after the weekend. It had gone all mouldy.
And did he take a dose of it and tasted it and found that it cured his flu? Well, that's what I'm trying to say. So if you send a probe out, you don't know what you're going to discover.
Well, what we've discovered is that geeks and boffins can't land a probe properly and they didn't use Duracells.
Well, they should have sent the rabbit up there.
Ranjit, thank you.
I got my mind set on you.
Afternoon, this is Ian Lee, BBC WM 95.6. Nobody, apart from some geeks and boffins, have been able to defend the probe. 1.4 billion euros. Is that all, guys? Is that all? I'm a celebrity. It looks absolutely guff this year, doesn't it? I turned it down. Hey, we can throw that out. What have you turned down? What have you said no to? When did you say no? What did you walk out of? What did you leave? 03453 00956. I did the right thing turning it down, didn't I, Susan?
Turning what down, Ian?
Have you been listening to the show, my love?
No, because my broadband went down and I've only just been able to get to you 10 minutes ago.
Mm, I turned down I'm a Celebrity this year.
Well, I don't blame you. You're far better than talented to appear in such a diabolical show.
Well, you say diabolical...
I'm very pleased you did, Ian.
You say diabolical show. Can I throw some numbers at you?
Can do.
£80,000.
Well, no,
yes, that's the noise I made.
No, I'm sorry, Ian, you're better than that, because I've really, really missed you.
Oh.
And you're far better than
You've
that.
You've been stalking
and
me
BBC
on the internet, though, Susan.
BBC bosses ought to make it up to
they
you.
Should, the BBC should pay me £80,000 to make up the deficit in
my
bank account.
Well, you know, if we can waste £1.4 billion on a white elephant like the probe, I'm sure... the BBC can find £80,000 to pay you.
I'm sure they can. We will sort it out at some point. You think it's a waste of money, this probe, do you?
I do. Everything you've said, I agree with you 100%. And I was really amused the way the scientists tried to justify it by breaking it down to €3 per person.
You can't... It's still a huge amount of money. It's only 1.4 billion euros, he said. Hang on a second. That's a fortune.
I know, and... The thing is, actually, my husband and myself had a little bit of a domestic over it last night. Nothing serious, because he's into this science. And the thing that I said is, why have they done it, and what has it achieved, and what good will it do mankind? And nobody can come up with an answer. The two
scientific gentlemen we've had on have not been able to come up with the answer. The first one said his examples of what we've got from space travel was memory foam and non-scratch spectacles. Well, wow. Really, I ask you. Wow. Is that it?
You know, it's crazy, Ian. It's absolutely crazy. The state of some people's lives today, and they can go and spend that amount of money on... What?
Okay. Do you know what annoyed me about this? Was not necessarily the money, but did you see the footage of all the geeks and the boffins dancing around with joy when it had landed?
Yeah.
And I thought you did. Because the thing is, right, boffins were bullied at school, they'd have been bullied at college, they'd have had led miserable 20s and early 30s. But they knew at some point in the future, in their 40s and 50s, they would rule the earth by doing something like this. Right. Well, in your face, boffins, you muffed up. Well, you had one night of glory, and now it's back to us. We own the world. Thank you very much.
Was it what they said, or did they go to Lanzarote again?
Who's going to Lanzarote?
Well, that's what they reckon the moon landing was, though. Didn't go to the moon. They went to Lanzarote. Oh, have you ever been to Lanzarote?
No, I've been to the moon. Hang on, what? Susan, thank you very much. Let's go to Carl in Tamworth. Afternoon, Carl.
Hi, Ian, you're right.
Yeah, I'm good. What you got for us?
Well, I mean, you know, you were saying what have we got from sort of space exploration and the space program and stuff. MRI scanners, that came from, the technology for an MRI scanner came from the space program. And let's face it, an MRI scanner saves thousands of lives every year, probably millions of lives every year.
I had an MRI recently. I like a good MRI. It's quite, have you ever been in one?
Yeah, I have, yeah. I had a scan a couple of years ago.
It's quite exciting, isn't it? Because you're not allowed to move.
You know, it's noisy as well. I don't know if you have the earphones on, but it's incredibly noisy.
It's very, very noisy. But we would have got that technology at some point.
Well, we might have done, but, I mean, it would have taken us a whole lot longer. And I think, you know, we all use mobile phones. The technology for simple mobile phones came from SpaceX, space technology.
I think we have reached the limit. Science is at its peak. There's nothing more to discover. And shall I tell you how I know this? Right.
You tell me,
Carl, the difference between an iPhone 6 and an iPhone 4S. It's a bigger screen. That's it. That's the technology. There's nothing more to learn.
Yeah, all right, fair enough as far as phones are concerned. But, you know, to find out where the universe came from, I know that you'll have some religious nutter ring up in a minute and say, God created it. But, you know, let's be honest. God didn't create it. Let's find out what did create it. We need to know. Carl, one day we're going to have to live out there because the Earth's not going to exist. We need to learn.
You've been watching too many films, you silly sausage. 03453 009956.
Today is Children in Need Day.
Have you ever had the urge to change the world?
To swap your makeup for a paw print?
To bake 50 fabulous fruitcakes?
To wear your pants outside your trousers?
Any one of these things makes you a fundraising superhero.
Hear the stories of fundraising bravery and how your money is making a difference.
You know, we've got a reason to get up in the morning.
That's why we do what we do.
BBC WM will join forces with those fundraising superheroes in Birmingham and the Black Country doing their bit for Pudsey.
Go to bbc.co.uk/Pudsey.
Children in Need Day, today on BBC WM 95.6.
Right, if we've come so far technologically, then why is mankind still having to eat poo? I'm not joking. This is a true story. It's in the Daily Star. So it must be true. Madcap Adventurer. I wouldn't call him that. I'd call him something, but not Madcap Adventurer. Who's a Madcap Adventurer? That's Baron Munchausen or Willy Wonka. No, not Willy Wonka. Michael Palin. He's a Madcap Adventurer. Willy Wonka. No, fair play. Willy Wonka, Great Glass Elevator. That was an adventure. Thanks. Madcap Adventurer. I'm thinking of the guy that went around the world in 80 days that isn't Michael Palin. No, Willy Fogg. Phileas Fogg. Madcap Adventurer Bear Grylls has told how he once tucked into bear poo to survive in the wild and loved it. Can you believe this, Adrian?
No, I think he's a moron.
Sorry?
He's a moron. You go and eat stuff like that, do you?
The 40-year-old TV star's revelation will shock fans. The former SAS soldier who fronts popular show Man versus Wild admitted, bear poo sounds like it can't be edible. But I once... Oh, my gosh. I once picked all the bits of undigested fruit out of it and cleaned them and ate them. It was good. Hang on a second. His real name isn't Bear. His real name's Edward. Edward Bear. Oh, isn't that good? You would eat, if you were starving, Adrian, right? If you were on if you were on a desert island, okay, that had once been inhabited by bears, but all of the bears had mysteriously disappeared, but they'd still left their feces, right? But there was nothing else to eat. You would, after, I reckon, judging from you, Adrian, after about 3 or 4 days, you'd be tucking into that poo like nobody's business.
I think I'd be trying to catch some fish out of the sea.
You couldn't catch the fish. The sea is toxic. There are no plants. There are no living creatures. All there is bear poo. You would eat it.
I'm fat enough to wait a week at least.
The bears have gone off the island. The bears are gone. The bears aren't there anymore. They've disappeared under mysterious circumstances. Anyway, Adrian, you've not called in to discuss your fetish for bear poo. What would you like to say?
The fridge on the Comet.
Oh, yeah.
What a waste of time.
The fridge on the Comet?
Well, it's about the same size as a fridge or a washing machine. I assume that they haven't had a long wash on the socks, have they?
Is that how big it is?
Yeah.
Oh, because I thought it was tiny.
No.
I thought it was like the size of a lava lamp.
No, the same size as a washing machine.
Wow. God blimey. Imagine, why would you send a washing machine into space, apart from to clean Neil Armstrong's underpants?
So it must be a long wash cycle.
Hasn't it just, eh? You think it's a waste of money?
Well, yeah, it's a complete waste of money, really. I mean, you spent $1.4 billion to send something over there. You're not guaranteed to get anything back from it, and you don't know where it's going to land because they were saying all along they didn't know where it would land.
Yeah.
But let's go one stage further. They've now dumped a piece of metal onto a comet that's been flying around the universe for however many hundreds of thousands of years.
I think we can say millions, nay, billions.
Yeah.
Okay.
Now, you've affected that aerodynamics on that thing.
Isn't it?
You've also affected its weight. Is it possible that the orbit could now be changed and it could end up going and hitting something?
Oh, we could have been the masters of our own doom. You're right. Well, if that trajectory changes just a little bit, it could come hurtling towards us. And where's Bruce Willis when you need him?
Exactly. It could hurtle towards anything. Even any of the other planets as well. You don't know what's going to hit what.
Let's be honest, guys. Space is rubbish, right? I mean, listen, it's nice to look at it's nice to lie on a clear beach on a Mediterranean island and look at the stars. But really, space is rubbish. The moon was rubbish. We're never going to land on Mars, and the probe on Mars, that's rubbish. It's all rubbish. Instead of spending billions of dollars and billions of euros going to look up there, why don't we, I don't know, feed people?
Well, why don't we find a way to feed people better? Why don't we... A really silly idea now. Why don't we fix a load of desalination plants on the coast of Africa and irrigate the deserts and start growing some food?
You're absolutely insane, Adrian. The Fleetwood Mac tickets are on sale. There's still a few left for Birmingham. The O2 where I would be going has sold out. Producer Joe is dancing a jig because she's got some. And I couldn't get any Neil Diamond tickets today either. Flipping heck. What's going on?
Oh,
See, I'd go and see Fleetwood Mac. I saw Fleetwood Mac a few years ago. Bizarrely, I came up with the name of my first son while we were sat in the Fleetwood Mac audience. I remember that. I'd certainly go and see them now, because it's all of them. Christine McVie is back. I don't think I'd be tempted to pay top dollar to go and see Take That now, though. Now there are only three of them. They've added extra dates in Birmingham. Have you seen this? This is in the Mail, Birmingham Mail. Three extra Brum dates added to Take That's tour. Take That have added three extra dates in Birmingham as part of their tour next year. The band, now a trio. Now, listen, let's be honest. Jason Orange didn't really add much to the group anyway, apart from some excellent moves. He was a great dancer. But still, why would you go and see three of them? There were five of them 2 years ago. The band, now a trio, will appear at the LG Arena, to be known as the Genting Arena. Sorry, what? The Genting Arena? Genting, on May the 11th, the 12th and June the 22nd. They already lined up for three nights at the venue. So hang on, they're doing six nights just in Birmingham. That's insane. Why would you go? If you've bought tickets for this, if you are one of the people, I quite like a bit of Take That. What's that homoerotic video they do where they're all covered in jelly? I like that. It was good, that one. I enjoyed that. I don't know what the song was, but it was a bit of sexy fun, wasn't it? A little bit of sexy fun. They were already lined up for three nights. Tickets went on sale at 9 a.m. today. Gary Barlow said, "I always loved the Brum gigs. We played the NSC forever, so it's got real history for us. It's a guaranteed cracker. And I write all the songs." I can't do his voice, but I know he's miserable. He's like Andy. "And we played the NEC forever." He's like Andy Murray. Miserable. Come on, guys, you're millionaires. Deal with it. Take That are touring as the trio of Gary, Mark, and Howard. Flipping. Why would anyone go and see three of Take That? 03453 009956. Let's get the travel news now. Here's Matt.
Thank you. We'll start with the southbound M6. A lane closed after an incident between Junction 3A, the M6 Tull, and Junction 3. That's the Nuneaton turn, the A444. M42, though, that's back to normal after a breakdown earlier on the northbound side between Junction 4 for Shirley and Junction 5, the Solihull turn. Elsewhere, it's looking busy if you are heading up the A38. There is a lane closed on the northbound side around Barton for emergency repairs, so traffic is quite heavy around there. And in Smethwick, the High Street still closed after a burst water main between Stony Lane and the High Street. If you can update, just call us on 08453 002288.
Waking up the West Midlands with the latest news, sport, weather and travel updates. Pete Morgan at Breakfast is back Monday morning from 6.
The voice of Birmingham and the Black Country.
BBC WM 95.6.
It's 3 o'clock. There's another hour of this nonsense. But before that, let's get the news. Here's Chris Blakemore.
Thank you, Ian. Good afternoon. The former Attorney General, Dominic Grieve, has questioned whether new anti-terrorism measures announced by David Cameron are legal. Under the proposals, individuals who go abroad to fight for extremist groups would be blocked from returning to the UK for at least 2 years unless they complied with strict conditions. The Director of Liberty, Shami Chakrabarty, says she's got major concerns.
What the government seems to be saying is we won't exclude people from the UK unless they refuse to face effectively punishment without trial. And that to me is an enormous abuse of power. And I don't think the courts are going to wear that as anything better than exiling people or rendering them stateless.
29 people have been jailed for a total of nearly 100 years following a major operation to target drug dealing in Birmingham. It was called Birmingham No Deal, and more than 100 officers carried out dawn raids back in February on addresses in the city. Quantities of Class A and B drugs were seized as well, and as well as the 29 jailed, another four were given suspended sentences for supplying drugs. Now, a man has been arrested on suspicion of assault after armed police were called to Edgbaston this morning. They were called to Bullerscroft just after 9 o'clock. A 24-year-old was detained and a gas-powered air pistol was also seized. The European Space Agency says its robotic probe has started drilling into the comet it landed on 2 days ago, but that no scientific data has been received from the procedure yet. It's thought the lander may be entering its last day of usable power because its solar panels are in the shade. A six-year-old boy from Coventry is thought to have become the youngest ever qualified computer specialist. Ayan Qureshi took an exam on using a computer operating system when he was just five. It's something usually done by university students studying to become IT technicians. And Ayan has been talking to the BBC about what he does.
This is my IT lab, and this is my computer and my laptop. I connected these, and the lights are going off from here. It's not difficult for me.
And events are taking place across the West Midlands for children in need. The money donated helps people in our region, and £4.8 million has been given to causes here. Pupils at Moathorpe Primary School in Great Whirley have been joining in the fundraising. Deputy head teacher Anna Thompson has been telling BBC WM about what they've been up to.
Today, all of the children have baked a cake at home. They're bringing it into school, and we will be judging later to see which cake is the best cake. The children are also dressing up as superheroes.
And the weather, drier and brighter this afternoon, highs of 13 Celsius, 55 Fahrenheit. Tonight, largely dry with some showers, lows of 5 Celsius, 41 Fahrenheit. Saturday, tomorrow, showers in the morning, gradually dying out to leave a mostly dry and sunny Saturday, highs of 12 Celsius, 54 Fahrenheit. BBC WM 95.6 News, there's more online at bbc.co.uk/WM.
Ian Lee.
On BBC WM.
95.6.
The voice of Birmingham and the Black Country.
The greatest news of all time. I love it. I love it. There's nothing better. I'm trying to find the pictures in the Sun because these are the... Here we go. There's nothing better. And they do this every few years, right? When the world's tallest man meets up with the world's shortest dude. It's always the best picture in the world. It's in some of the papers. The Sun have gone about this in a weird way. Right, so the wee fella's 1'8", OK? The tall fella's 8'3". I'm having real trouble imagining what 1'8" and 8'3" looks like. If only there was a more popular way of conveying height. Well, the Sun, of course, use a more popular way. They've used the international size of baked bean tins. That's what they've done, because we all measure stuff with baked bean tins, don't we? That's what we do. That's how we work. So the wee fella, who is Chandra Dangi, he's 6 tins of baked beans tall. And lanky, Sultan Kosen, is 23 and a half tins of baked beans tall. So you can kind of get an idea. But what they've done in the Sun is they've really rubbed it in to the wee fella. The tall fella's rubbing it into the wee fella. What he's doing, right, is he's stood there, so the short one's going, oh, flip, oh, all right, I'm tiny. To make it even worse, the tall fella's got his arm up in the sky as well to show off. In one of the other papers, the wee fella is the same size as the tall gentleman's feet. Feet. Here's something, right, that someone told me today. Is this true? That we measure, you know, like size 10 or size 6, that's ears of corn. Is it? No, I don't, because there are weird measuring methods. The hand span of the horse is, my horse is 7 hands tall. What the hell? Because most horses are owned by rich, posh kids. So their hand span is going to be a different to mine. Is that true? We measure the size of feet by ears of corn. 03453-009956. I wonder how many tins of beans tall I am. You're measuring stories, please, this afternoon on BBC WM 95.6. I like it when they get together. Is it true, Producer Joe? Isn't that funny? Isn't that funny? Here's an interesting thing. From the elbow to the wrist, what's that the same size as? The elbow to the wrist, size of the foot. Okay. Here's another one. From spread out your arms, from finger to finger, that's how tall you are. Isn't God funny? God is like, not Lenny Bruce, not Jasper Carrot. God's like Michael McIntyre. Like, a little bit funny in small doses, generally quite annoying, and loads of people get him and I don't. Yeah, I quite like Peter Kay. 03453-009956 is the telephone number if you want to give us a call. We're here on Saturdays as well. I say we, Producer Joe and myself. We're here Saturday mornings between 9 and 12. I felt bad taking a couple of weeks off. I don't like taking time off when I'm poorly. I like it when I've booked it off. I don't like it when I'm poorly. Hey, something that... you know, the internet broke this week. And do you know what broke the internet? Kim Kardashian's massive bum. It broke Tinternet. Overexposed, Kim Kardashian has moaned about being famous while flashing her naked body for all to see. I don't understand what a Kim Kardashian is. She's famous because she's got a bum, yeah? That's it, isn't it? There's no. She's not a singer or an actress or even a model. She's got a bottom. I've got a bottom. My mother's got a bottom. She's not famous. On Wednesday, her... Oh, this is... What an inappropriate description of a lady's backside. On Wednesday, her oiled-up powerhouse rump... An oiled-up powerhouse rump? That's the name of my first album. Broke the internet as fans applauded, mocked and made spoof... It's brilliant. If you go online, there are now loads of joke pictures of Kim Kardashian, including one showing you how you can park a bike. Roy Hodgson's chin is an excellent one. You're right, Producer Joe. This woman's a mother, yeah? She's had, like, a baby in the last 6 months, something like that, recently, even more recent than that. OK. Well, she's got a kiddie. Imagine if your mum did this, Joe. That would be brilliant, actually. I've seen pictures of your mum. She is very, very hot, your mum. If my mum did it, but she's a mum. That's not appropriate for a mum, is it, Trevor?
That's a one wide load, boy. One wide load.
It's a very wide load. But mums shouldn't be oiling up their backsides and flashing them at us.
No.
No, I'm not kidding. What have you got for us, Trev?
Well, you were saying was it your elbow to your wrist is the size of your foot?
From your elbow to your wrist, where the bendy bit, the flappy bit, where the hand joins, that's the size of your foot, yes.
No, Charles. My foot's never that big.
No, I know. Trevor, do me a favour. Oh, I can't do it because I haven't got my shoes with me. Take your shoe off.
Not at 56 miles an hour down
here. Oh, OK. When you get the chance, Trev, take your shoe off, rest it on that bit. You'll be surprised your foot is that big.
I know what you said about stretching your arm out, fingertip to fingertip is at your actual height. I know that was true.
Well, then trust me on this. I'm not going to lie to you, Trevor.
You're not going to lie to me.
No, well, I mean, like, yes, I would lie to you at some points. It's true. When you can pull off the motorway, take your shoe off, put it on that bit of arm, and I'll be proved right, and you'll phone up and apologise to me.
No, because I won't have time. I'll have to ring you tomorrow morning.
Trevor, thank you very much. I look forward to speaking to you tomorrow morning. Make sure you bring something to eat that humble pie with. Huh? Huh? Oh, let me just find the express, and we'll just set up this lying story. My papers are all over the shop today. Before we play, it's a good song. 03453-009956. Apparently, Britons are very dishonest. The average Briton. Why is it Briton? Why do we say Briton? Why do we not say Briton? The average Briton, Britain. We say Briton. I don't understand it. And then where's Brittany? That's in France, is it? And they're Bretons. So we're Britons. They're Bretons. It's... makes me sick. This is why we should pull out of the EU. I don't know. The average Briton tells 10 lies a week. A week? Are you having a laugh? 10 lies an hour? From how many drinks they had at the pub to the price tag on a new handbag. Do you remember when the bald fella that isn't Ian Duncan Smith, Haig? Do you remember William Haig said that on a night out he'd have like 16 or 17 pints? Do you remember that? He kept, well, yes, on a night out. That's like an Asian Bruce Forsyth. I'll stop that way. Well, yes. Look, he came out and he said, yeah, I'll go out for a night with the lads and I'll have 16, 17 pints. Hang on a second, what? Even at my most booziest, I couldn't manage more than 8 pints a night. You can't. You get all bloated and gaseous. He'd be up all night having a wee. The average Briton tells 10 lies a week. The vast majority of us admitted to being a fibber, and our favourite is over how much something costs. Yeah, I do that a lot. Here's something. I order so much junk on eBay. Right. Not junk. Let me rephrase that. I order so many collectible rarities on eBay that my wife said, how much are you spending on that stuff from eBay? I lied and I reduced the figure. I spent quite a lot. If you don't listen to this show, I spent quite a lot. Well, maybe you should spend a little bit less, she said. I said, OK, I'll stop it. I now get this stuff sent to work. Yeah, I know. I got a boot full of car. Don't open the boot of my car in front of my wife. She'll kill me. It's full of unopened packages from Japan and the United States thereof. Research shows that 45% of women were likely to concoct a cost, while 36% of men told a price porky. 03453 009956. The last time you told a lie, please. Give us some good lie stories. Also, I turned down I'm a Celebrity this week. What have you turned down? 03453 009956. Oh, I got a load of text as well. I'll do those in a second. 81333. Start your text WM and I'll speak to you after this. Afternoon, Ian Lee, BBC WM 95.6. So what have we talked about this afternoon? Really, why is everybody so excited by this flipping comet and this flipping probe? They've muffed up. Get over it. Next. What have you said no to? Lies you've told? 03453 009956. Well, what do you lie about? The average Briton tells around 10 lies a week, from how much they've had to drink to how much they spent on a handbag. But why do we lie? Sometimes it's just easier, isn't it? Just to kind of, you know, sometimes something that's not true just falls out of your mouth without even thinking about it. Well, Professor Don Grubin is a professor of forensic psychiatry and joins me now. Good afternoon, Professor.
Afternoon.
Why do we lie, Don?
Oh, 101 reasons why we lie. Depends on the situation that you're in. Sometimes it's to make yourself look better. Sometimes it's to make yourself look worse. Sometimes it's to save face. Sometimes it's to achieve something. It depends on the situation.
Some people are compulsive liars, aren't they? They just can't tell the truth.
Very few. They do exist, but they're very few.
Why do they exist? What's clicked in their brain that means they find it so hard to tell the truth?
Well, from an evolutionary point of view, we tell the truth because we're social animals. We have to rely on each other. We have to believe what other people tell us. But that means that there is an advantage for the few people who can lie well and get away with it. Because clearly, if you're lying for your own self-interests and people are believing you, you're going to have an advantage. If people don't believe you, though, and you get caught out, then you've got problems.
Are there real ways of telling how people are lying?
Well, that's not a straightforward answer. If you look at very young children, I mean, kids begin to lie from about the age of 3. And if you look at kids around that age when they lie, it's very easy to tell. Certain things that they do.
I've got 2 boys, 4 and 2, nearly 5 and 3, and you're right, and it's wonderful watching, because you know that they're lying, and it's a joy to see them try and do it.
Absolutely, but I have to warn you, by the time they get to be about 8 or 9, they're pretty good at it, and you won't be able to pick it up so easily.
Blimey, all right, thanks.
and that's what the problem is, because when you're telling lies, you're constantly getting feedback about how good you are.
Yeah.
And you know when you get away with it, and you know when you don't. When you're the lie detector, like the parent, you only know when you catch them.
Right.
So you don't get feedback on when they get away with it. So there are cues, but people learn to hide them.
That lie detectors, I'm never quite convinced that the actual lie detector machines work.
Ah, you're talking about polygraphs now.
Yeah, how good are they?
Well, firstly, we don't like to refer to them as lie detectors because that's not what they're doing.
Oh.
What they're doing is they're measuring physiological responses to arousal. And in the context of a polygraph exam, what you're trying to make sure is that arousal is caused by lying. But it's not, strictly speaking, measuring a lie. So how good they are depends entirely on how good the examiner is. A good examiner should be right about 9 out of 10 times.
So when they do it on Jeremy Kyle about, Steve, did he sleep with Diane or did he not sleep with Diane? His wife thinks that he slept with Diane. He's denied it. Steve has denied it completely from the start. So they've gone on Jeremy Kyle to have the lie detector test.
Yeah.
And the results, the all-important results, get handed over from Will to Jeremy Kyle. He reads them out and it says, yes, Steve, you have actually been lying. You did have it away with everything from a kiss right up to full intercourse. That's accurate. You know that to be a fact.
Well, again, as I said, it depends on how good the examiner is on the situation. I'm wary about daytime television and it's being used as a gimmick, as a part of a game show. I think it's very different in that type of environment from when it's being used seriously. When it's being used properly, its accuracy is probably around 90%.
Okay. And this is why we don't have it. Do they use it in America in the legal system?
They use it very widely in America. It's used to investigate crimes. It's not always admissible in court. That's a case-by-case decision. But about 25 of the 50 states have allowed it in court.
Would you like to see it used over here as part of the legal process?
Well, I think there's more use for it, more potential for it in terms of investigations and investigating crime. But I'm wary about it getting into court.
Hmm.
By the time the police have a case to bring to court, they've got a lot of evidence. They don't need whether somebody's passed or failed the polygraph. So the only time the polygraph gets in is when the defense has it.
Mm.
And then, again, you have to be careful about the examiner. The other thing to bear in mind, of course, is you started talking about how many times people lie. There's lots of different ways people lie.
Go on.
And there's all sorts of, you can lie about, about yourself, personal facts about yourself. You can lie about beliefs that you have, about attitudes. You can lie about what you intend to do. And only some of these things are appropriate or relevant for polygraph testing.
Sometimes lies are okay, because if it stops the other person unnecessarily being hurt, then there's nothing wrong with telling a little lie, is there?
Not at all. I mean, there's lots of reasons why it's appropriate to lie. It really depends on the situation, and that's why we're able to do it, and society doesn't fall apart. And there's that great quote from Jack Straw, of course, where he said, politicians don't tell outright lies.
Ah, yes. There's a little fudging around the edge. Don, thank you for that. Professor Don Grubin, Professor of Forensic Psychiatry. Best lie you've ever told, please. Or when have you caught somebody out lying? 03453 009956. Helen, stay there. Be with you after this.
The football phone-in with Paul Brand.
Five goals past Wolves. Back-to-back league defeats for the first time under Kenny Jackett.
Today is the wake-up call.
However you like to get it off your chest, let's talk.
Just hasn't got it in him to be a real top-class centre forward for Aston Villa Football Club.
If Wolves still play like that, we've got no chance whatsoever. We were shocking.
The football phone-in. Have your say with the legends. Weeknights from 6.
BBC WM
95.6.
So, Helen, do you like telling porcupines?
It wasn't me.
Really? You expect me to believe that, do you?
It wasn't me that hit the wing mirror.
Oh.
Wasn't me, honestly, honey.
Is this you trying to lie? Because it's pathetic.
I know, but that's what I did.
When was this?
I actually got away with it.
Oh, and you're joking.
No, but I didn't do it as pathetically as I've just said it. I went out to the car and I had hit somebody else's wing mirror.
Yes.
And got home, said to my husband, please don't, if anyone who knows my husband, tell him I'm telling you this. Went out and went, oh my God, what the hell has happened to my car? And he went out and went, what's happened? I went, look, someone's hit the wing mirror. And he actually believed me.
So hang on, you lied to your husband. It wasn't the owner of the other car you were lying to. It was your soulmate, your other half, the person you were going to share the rest of your life with.
I've shared 22 years with him.
Well, why did you sound really angry when you said that?
Because he would be really cross.
Right, and?
And I don't like him being cross.
Oh, flipping it. He's not the Incredible Hulk, is he?
No, he's not, trust me.
Okay. I
don't like being lied to, and I don't like lying, and I am a crap, really crap liar.
Yeah.
But he believed me on this one, and I felt so, so guilty.
Yeah.
That I'd lied to him.
But I bet you got rid of that guilt quite quickly, didn't you?
No, because it's still on my shoulder.
How long ago was this?
Last week.
I thought you were going to say about 5 years. Helen.
What?
Confess to him today.
No.
Do it.
No, he'll go mad.
No, he won't go mad.
I'm doing steak and chips. No.
No, he'll go. You're doing him steak and chips?
With a cheese sauce.
Yeah, is that his favourite?
Yeah.
Beautiful. Right. Cook it. Perfect.
Have you ever lied? Okay, I'll give you one back on this one. I've got four kids.
Yes.
Right? I've got 18, 16, 14 and 12.
Yes.
And when they've done something wrong, they come to me.
Yeah.
My daughter dropped her eye.
Her eye?
Pad.
iPad. I'm glad that finished.
Whatever.
Yes.
I said, oh, Mummy, please don't tell Daddy it was me. And I went, okay. I'll say that I did it.
What is going on in this dishonest family? You encourage your children to lie to their father.
No.
Helen.
I'm protecting them.
What I think you should do, you know what we should do tomorrow?
What? Confession.
You and your husband should come on the air and you should tell him on the air about the iPad and about the car.
It was an iPod, not an iPad.
Oh, makes a difference, does it? Right. Will you come on tomorrow morning?
No.
Helen?
No.
Helen.
Ian, don't.
Helen.
Ian.
Helen!
Didn't know what time it was, the lights were low, oh, oh. I leaned back on my radio, oh, oh. Some cat was laying down some rock and roll, not a soul, he said. Then the loud sound, it seemed to fade. Came back like a slow voice on a wave of fate. That were no DJ, that was hazy cosmic jive. There's a starman waiting in the sky. Come and meet us, but he thinks he'd blow our minds. There's a starman waiting in the sky. He's told us not to blow it, 'cause he knows it's all worthwhile. He told me
House. I mean, really? That poor man, he's living in ignorance. Your lying story, please, dear listener. It's the worst lineup of I'm a Celeb ever. And I said no to it. What have you said no to? And yes, we've had the boffins and the scientists dancing around with glee at the prospect of this probe. Well, they would, wouldn't they? Yet not one of you, dear listener, has been able to defend the 1.4 billion euros spent on it. Can you? 03453009956. It's BBC WM 95.6. Let's get the travel news now. Here's Matt.
And still problems for the northbound M42. There's been an accident closing a lane between Junction 10 for Tamworth and Junction 11 for Burton. That's where it becomes the A42. So traffic is quite slow there. It's taking around 25 minutes to get through the delays. The northbound M6, that's busy through the roadworks between Junction 10A, the M54 and Junction 12 for Gailey. In Smethwick, the High Street remains closed after a water main burst between Stony Lane and High Street. We expect that closure to still be in place until tomorrow. Also getting flooding in Solihull on Henwood Lane around the Hampton Lane turn. There's a Ford there that's flooded. And in Birmingham itself, it is busy on Dartmouth Middleway around Dartmouth Circus and on Lawley Middleway around Garrison Circus. If you can update us, call BBC WM 95.6 Travel on 08453 00228.
Thank you, boss.
The voice of Birmingham and the Black Country. BBC WM 95.6.
It's 3:30. Let's get the news now. Here's Chris Blakemore.
Thank you, Ian. Good afternoon. Prime Minister David Cameron has said that British men and women who go abroad to fight with Islamic extremists will only be allowed to come home under certain conditions. The government has outlined plans which make it illegal for them to come back for up to 2 years. 29 people have been jailed for a total of nearly 100 years following a major operation to target drug dealing in Birmingham. It was called Birmingham No Deal, and more than 100 officers carried out dawn raids back in February on addresses in the city. A man's been arrested on suspicion of assault after armed police were called to Edgbaston this morning. They were called to Bullerscroft just after 9 o'clock. A 24-year-old was detained and a gas-powered air pistol was also seized. And a six-year-old boy from Coventry is thought to have become the youngest ever qualified computer specialist. Ayan Qureshi took an exam on using a computer operating system when he was just 5 years old. And the weather, dry and brighter this afternoon. Highs 13 Celsius, 55 Fahrenheit. Tonight, largely dry, but the chance of some showers. Lows of 5 Celsius, 41 Fahrenheit. And Saturday, showers in the morning, gradually dying out to leave a mostly dry and sunny Saturday. Highs 12 Celsius, 54 Fahrenheit.
The voice of Birmingham and the Black Country. BBC WM 95.6.
Afternoon, Ian Lee, BBC WM 95.6, here every Friday. Well, nearly every Friday. Turns out I'm bunking off as I was in the last 2 weeks, between 2 and 4 with producer Joe. Also back tomorrow between 9 and 12. Saturday mornings after Molly. 03 453 00956. Is anybody? If you go online, all, in inverted commas, normal people seem to be really excited by this this comet and this probe. I thought I was going to be a lone voice saying, what a load of old tosh. 1.4 billion euros when, get this, and this is the serious point to it, 25,000 old people are going to die this winter in England and Wales. One every 7 minutes because they can't afford their heating. That's nuts, isn't it? That's a nuts. That's an insane statistic. It's 2014. We're Britain, and we're going to lose one old person every 7 minutes. And yet, we can waste a load of time and a load of money sending a fridge to sit on a comet in the shade. It's a waste of money, isn't it, Millie?
Yes, it is.
Absolute waste.
Don't blame you. It's true.
It's true. I speak of the truth.
You do.
I speak of the truth. You touch on my car, I smash your face.
You're my mate now.
What?
You are my mate now.
Not technically.
You are.
What makes you say that, Millie?
I've got to look, to grow on you.
No, don't you dare grow on me. What, like a fungus?
Like a little fruit. A nice peach.
It's back to Kim Kardashian.
Oh, dear.
Isn't it? Or nice plums.
Oh, yeah, a nice sweet plum, then.
Nice pear?
Yeah.
Yeah, OK, excellent. Millie, what have you got for us, you deviant?
Right, the lies now.
Yes.
I think the biggest liar...
Uh-oh.
Well, I know I got the family in there, but I don't care.
Yes.
The biggest liar you meet on 2 feet is a police officer.
Oh, my goodness gracious, Millie.
On.
I was trying to do a nice show today.
I know them. I know them very well. And I have to tell lawyers to go back and get promotion. But the more lies are coming, they say that we got them now. We got that. And it's a lie. Because I want to know, why would a police officer tell you to go and tell the judge, oh, I am guilty.
What?
Just to get. Oh, a linked sentence when you know you're not guilty.
Well, hang on. It's not the police officer that tells you to go and say you're guilty. It'll be your solicitor.
No, policemen sit there and tell you.
What crime did you commit, Millie?
I know none, but I know them. Listen, majority of my family are cops. I know them good.
Okay. We can break this down, Millie. So it's not the police that are liars. It's your family that are liars.
They're cops. So long as a police officer, you're born, you must tell lies. And you must lock even your mother up. They swear in.
What?
Lock even your mother up.
They've locked you up?
Your mother. If you're the police officer, right?
Yes.
And your mum did something wrong.
Yeah.
You are allowed to, you have to lock her up.
Well, that's not, hang on a minute, that's called honesty. That's the
that
opposite.
No, that is your mum.
Yeah.
You should overlook.
I'm not going to overlook my mum. What?
Yeah, okay. Say to your mum, look.
Flipping it.
Don't do that again, you know.
What, she's murdered the vicar? Right, and I'm supposed to overlook it.
Well,
don't do it again, Mum.
Don't kill nobody. But
don't kill any more vicars, Mum.
That's your mum.
Yeah,
but you'll be crying every day.
If my mum killed a vicar,
and your mum got to prison, the vicar isn't into you. Your mum is your mum.
Yeah, but she's killed. My mum's killed a vicar.
Probably the vicar gave her a reason to kill him.
She's just a lunatic who likes the killing men of the cloth.
No, no, no. Suppose the vicar did something to her and she happened to hit him, but she never meant to kill him and he got knocked out.
No, this is what happened, right?
Yeah.
So my mum went to church.
Yeah.
She didn't like the sermon, so she waited afterwards in her wheelchair with a knife, a dagger, and she stabbed him through the heart.
She wouldn't do that.
She
no.
did it. That's what she did. That's why.
All right, then. She did that. Right, so that means she didn't like him.
But so I'm supposed to ignore... I'm the only person that knows. She says, Ian, I've got something to tell you. You know the vicar... Reverend Steve. Yeah. Well, you know he died. Yeah, it was horrible. He got murdered by some lunatic.
It was me that killed him, yeah. And what are you going to do?
Yeah, I'm going to say, right, Mum, I'm going to call the police.
No.
And grass you up.
No, that's your mother. That's your mum.
Hang on a minute. I am the police.
You are the police, yeah.
Right. Then, Mum?
Yeah?
I'm placing you under arrest. You have the right to remain silent. Anything you say can and will be used against you. I might give her a little slap as well.
No, they do you that shouldn't sometimes, do that. You shouldn't lock her up. If you want to do anything, you should let your mate lock her up, not you.
I get the cuffs behind her back, do it a bit too tight. She might accidentally bump into the door as I'm pushing her out. You know these things happen. These things might fall down the might fall down the stairs. But she might.
You got one mum.
Yeah, well, she's now in prison for
and
vicar
she's in prison,
murder,
right?
Yes.
And so you can't sleep at night. Because, but you're a cop. You got no conscience, so you won't bother. But, like, an ordinary person or a different man from a policeman won't be able to sleep. He'd be saying, oh, my God, look what I did. I'd lock up my mum.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, then I'd try and break her out of prison.
Would you?
Yeah. Oh, then I'd do that.
But so, you shouldn't put her in the first place.
Well, no, I'm going to put her in, so I've done my civic and moral duty, and then I'm going to try and bust
her. Yeah, but your duty is to the government.
No, my duty is to...
A police officer works for the government. A soldier worked for the Queen. So you shouldn't bother with the government. You should think of your mother.
No, my mother's murdered a vicar, Millie.
Oh, with the vicar to you,
all right,
not
okay,
your father.
Okay, all right. You got kids, right?
I got sons, yes.
How old's your oldest son?
My baby. My baby's 39.
Right, I'm going to say something horrible, Millie. Can you take it?
Go on.
My son's murdered your baby.
Oh.
Yeah? Oh, she's on a spree now.
Oh,
she's killed the vicar, and now she's killed your baby.
Baby. Yeah.
Yeah, and that, so would you still want me to protect her?
Your mother. Yeah, if you say your mother killed my son, right?
Yeah.
You said to me, Millie, my mother killed your son. And I would say to you, why did your mother kill my son?
And I said, because she's
my
nuts.
Son, if
I would say,
had a reason
I would say, Millie,
son.
I would say because she killed a vicar and you knew about it and you told me not to arrest her. So it's your fault.
It's not my fault. It's your conscience to know you look at your mum.
This is the weirdest conversation I've ever had on air.
Oh, I could hide neath the wings of the bluebird as she sings. The 6 o'clock alarm would never ring, but it rings and I rise, wipe the sleep out of my eyes. My shaven razor's cold and it stings. Me as a white knight on his steed. Now you know how happy I can be. Oh, and our good time starts and ends without dollar one to spend. But how much, baby, do we really need? Cheer. To a daydream believer and a homecoming queen. Cheer up, sleepy Jean. Oh, what can it mean? To a daydream believer and a homecoming queen.
It's literally the best song ever. Perfect.
What can it mean to a daydream believer and a homecoming?
Let's do some of these. I've not done any of these texts. I can only apologise. Let's do some of these. Ian, can I paint a picture for you? I'm a domestic cleaner. I'm listening to you on headphones. The man who owns this house is sat in his office trying to enjoy his retirement, but is continually being interrupted by my belly laughs. Since 2 p.m, I've had 3 mini wees in his freshly cleaned toilets and I can't dust for giggling. Will you please stop? I'll stop in 4 minutes. 40 minutes. 20 minutes. Hang on, let me do the math. 20 minutes. But then Franksy comes on. So, you know. Ian, I always, as the question, where do we come from and who we put us here? What? This comic could help towards some answers and disprove the existence of God, says Jay and Dudley. It won't. It won't. It won't do anything. We've lost contact with it and the batteries have run out. 25,000 old people are going to die with the cold weather and the BBC are going to pay Terry Wogan £30,000 for a few hours for charity. That's your, I always thought Terry Wogan... Can we find out? I always thought Terry Wogan did Children in Need for free. I always thought he was... He gets paid. He doesn't get paid 30 grand, does he? This is what this anonymous text... Does he get paid 30? No. I always thought he did it for free. Ian... Oh, dear, Julie. Do we really want to encourage this behaviour? Can you tell Ranjit, please, I love him? Ooh, dearie me, disgusting. 03453 009956. Talk about pubs in a minute. Before that, it's Greg. Afternoon, Greg.
Hello, Greggy. How are you, Ian? How are you doing?
I'm fine, Ian. Greggy, what have you got for us?
I just wanted to say, I was a supporter of this spacecraft.
You're the first caller to ring in that isn't a scientist, a paid boffin, to say that you think this is a good idea. Tell me why it's so good.
I think you've got to push the boundaries. It's got to be a first time for everything. It's got to be a first time for absolutely everything. There was a first time someone left a cave, and now it's the first time we've landed on a comet. But the first time is always going to be disproportionately expensive.
Yeah, but also there's got to be a reason for it. There could be a first time that I poke myself in the eye with a pencil, but I wouldn't do that.
Of course, there's a reason for it. I mean, to say they just did this with no reason. Well, 10 years apart, there's whole people's careers involved.
Tell me the reason, Greg. Tell me the reason.
Because they've got to know what's involved in doing this, the landing a spacecraft on an alien world. It's a little world, only a few hundred yards across, perhaps, but it's an alien world. They've got to do it for the first time. But look at the lessons they've learned already.
What have they learned, Greg?
Well, first of all, the bits and pieces that didn't work. Right.
Oh, right. So, hang on.
Where they've landed it.
Greg, we've spent €1.4 billion to find out some bits that don't work. Really?
No, of course not. Of course not. But they've got to find out. You can sit down and theorise anything. You can turn around and say, this is how a spacecraft is going to land
tell
on
us
the moon.
Anything.
But it means nothing until they've done it.
It won't tell
nothing.
Us anything.
It's told you. It's they've landed it.
Well, what has it told
it.
Me, Greg?
It's no longer theory. It is actual fact.
What is...
landed it. The second one won't make those mistakes.
But hang on. Why are they going to do a second one?
They're going to do a tenth one, mate. They're going to do 100.
For what? Do you know what? They stopped going to the moon. Do you know why?
They stopped going to the moon because they wanted to fight a war, didn't they?
Wasn't that wasted money?
Wasn't that money wasted in Vietnam when they could have been sending another one to the moon?
We haven't stepped on the moon, I think, since either 1971. Let's be generous and say 1974. We haven't stepped on the moon for 40 years because it cost too much money and there was nothing to learn.
I'll tell you what, they wasted an awful lot of money. We've been in constant wars since then, haven't we?
Yeah, that's a waste. That could be argued
spend
as
that money on space exploration. We'd be taking ore. We'd be taking gems. We'd be taking resources.
Gems? What gems? There are no gems there. It's a bit.
How do you know?
It's a bit of rock.
There might be a comet made of solid diamond. For all you know,
absolutely.
But the fact is, we don't know. And we don't know because we haven't been. We can only theorise. We only know when we get there. And this craft has been the first one to get there. And there's going to be a second one, a third one, a 100th one or a 500th one. That's money well spent.
Jarvis?
Otherwise, if you followed your logic, we'd still be sitting in a cave wondering how to make fire.
Jarvis, is it money well spent, Jarv?
Well, I'm not going to say it is or isn't. The reason I think they're going up there, at some point, the Earth, would be not fit for humankind.
Oh.
And the powers that be are looking for an alternative place where they can hang out.
So we're going to go and live on a comet, are we, Jarvis?
Not we.
He's even more nuts than you are, Greg.
You're the one who wants to live in a cave, mate.
Well, Jarvis wants to live on a comet.
I don't want to live on a comet. I'm not saying it's not about me. It's about the powers to be. The powers to be ready to destroy the Earth as it is. They need somewhere to go.
Jarvis, you won't be going to another planet. They won't take you.
Everyone the ones who'll be consumed by the nuclear energy.
mate, you've been watching too many films. It's not like that.
Okay, I know you're not into religion, right? Yeah. Read Revelation 21.
Yeah, it's a cracking story. Don't worry, it's not going to happen.
Okay, who is it? More truthful, but read it carefully. What is discussing? What is describing? Is more relevant for today than when it was written out.
Jarvis, thank you very much indeed.
Good morning, Mr. Mike Ham.
Here we are again, nice bright and early.
Phil's here through till 9 o'clock today here on BBC WM. It's the home of gardening. Your calls, your questions, invited.
Molly Green.
Saturdays, 6 till 9.
The voice of Birmingham and the Black Country.
BBC WM.
95.6.
Unbelievable. 03, they're all waiting for the last 20 minutes. 03453 009956 is the telephone number if you want to give us a call. So what are we learning from the comet? Well, we'll learn what mistakes not to make for the next comet. But there has to be the end result can't just be a successful landing on the comet. Surely there's got to be more to it than that, hasn't there? 03453 009956. We just spoke to Jarvis. Where's this? Oh, here we go. Here's a story in the Star. The great UK pub snub. Pub snub. Under 25s are shunning boozers. I haven't been in a pub for... Actually, I went into a pub when I was in Salford recently, about 6 months ago. Right? I don't drink. But enough expensive. And expensive. Flipping heck. Traditional pubs... There's some German festival or some beer festival or something here in the area. I saw it was reading on the Facebook page here, the WM Facebook page, and a pint of beer was like £7 or something. Traditional pubs are falling out of favour with young Brits as the under-25s turn their backs on a night out at the boozer. They'd rather spend time together in the gym? Who goes to the gym to spend time with their mates? You go to the gym to pump off. You don't go that... Hey, guys, should we go down to the gym together? No. Why not? Because that's a bit weird. You go to the gym and I'll see you after, yeah? Yeah, bromance, yeah. They'd rather spend time together in the gym, the cinema, yeah? Or a coffee shop. The popularity of pubs and bars among 18 to 25-year-olds plummeted from 42% in 2010... to 36% in 2014. Pubs are horrible. I tell you what they should bring back, right? If you want to get people... I would go and sit in pubs. A, reduce the prices. B, got rid of Sky and Satanta in there. Just make... What's wrong? I tell you what I like, is when I go, like, to Cornwall or something. I haven't been to Cornwall for ages. But you go to a nice old-fashioned old man's pub and you go and sit in there and you get a St. Clement's, an orange and lemonade, or a coffee, and you sit down there with a book... And you have an hour, and it's nice and quiet and peaceful. I don't want Sky. I don't want TV screens in a pub. Even if you're sat there with your mate, right, and you're opposite them, and there is a TV screen above, just above and behind their heads. However hard you try, you're going to be looking at the TV screen. You can't not. Your eyes are pulled towards it. Get rid of TVs in pubs. Youngsters are bucking the national trend as visiting the pub remains the number one out-of-home leisure activity for the country's adults. Flip it. Really? 03453 009956. When was the last time you went to the boozer? And what will get you back in pubs? Turn the TVs off, turn the music down and reduce the prices. That would work for me. I keep...
Something that can wash out the pain, and I'm sleeping all these demons away. But your ghost, the ghost of you, it keeps me awake. My friends, had you figured out? Yeah, there's so much inside of you. You tried hiding another you, but your evil was coming through. And these eyes sitting on the wall, well, they watch every move I make. Bright light living in the shade. You go.
Afternoon, Ian Lee, BBC WM 95.6. Here every Friday between 2 and 4. Also, Saturday mornings between 9 and 12, me and producer Joe. We're trying to find out, or producer Joe is, and doing a cracking job, does Terry Wogan get paid for hosting Children in Need? I thought he did it for free. We'll find out for tomorrow's show. Saying that, I have hosted charity events and I've been paid money for it. I've been paid good money. I remember hosting something for, was it the NSPCC? I don't think it was actually. So I don't think it was. But I got paid really well for it. And I remember saying to my agent, should I be getting paid for this? They went, yeah. I said, well, it doesn't sit that comfortably with me. She said, it's how it works. We'll talk about it tomorrow. We'll find out if he is getting paid or not. And we'll see if there's something to talk about in that. Last few minutes of this show today, though. 03-453-00956. Franks, you'll be on at 4. Before that, it's Mohammed. Good afternoon, Mohammed.
Good afternoon.
What would you like to say?
It's funny you mentioned Terry Wogan. I was thinking, when you're talking about the moon.
Yeah.
Moon landings.
Yes.
Well, I'll tell you what, I'll believe there's moon landings when they can land, when the Irish can land a leprechaun and Terry Wogan dances a jig on the moon.
Are you suggesting, Mohammed, in a rather roundabout, convoluted way, that we didn't land on the moon?
I don't believe they ever landed on the moon. No,
what? Why?
Well, for instance, you know when he jumped out of that so-called craft, whatever it was?
Yeah.
And he danced about and all the rest of it, like, you know.
Yeah.
Look at the flag, for instance.
Yeah.
And anyway, everybody's
Hang on. What about the flag?
Well, it was waving about in the wind, like, you know. Well, there's no gravity up there for a start off, like, you know.
Well, and, though there is gravity up there, just not a lot.
Is there?
Yeah, there's not. Just not a lot.
Do you know that for a fact?
Well, yeah. There's gravity on this comet, and that's tiny.
Yeah, there's gravity here.
You know, there's gravity on Earth, yeah?
Yeah.
There's actually gravity on this comet.
There's not enough gravity. Well, how come they keep telling us that they're going to fly off in space?
There's gravity, because it's not very strong gravity, but there is gravity on that comet. That's why it bounced.
I don't believe it.
That's a fact, Mohammed. Don't believe it just because it doesn't suit your other facts.
No, look at it more closely than that.
Go and look at it more closely and then come back when you've got the facts. Just because it doesn't fit in with your constructed reality of what is right or what is not right, don't mean it's not true. 03453-00956. Ian, the last time I went to the boozer was 9:15 this morning after I dropped the kids off at the school. I do own it, by the way, says Chris. Less young people are going to the boozer. The pub is... I mean, I used to go to the pub when I was younger, but I never really enjoy. It's not an enjoyable thing. We used to go there to get drunk. We used to go there to drink lots of beer, play on the gamblers, and sometimes watch a really rubbish band, and mainly to get drunk. Ian, says Paul, hasn't the penny dropped yet? We have to know we can land. Oh, this is good. Now, this is a conspiracy theory I can dig. We have to know we can land on a comet or asteroid because one day we will have to prevent a threat of collision with Earth. Ooh, that's a good one, Paul. Julia says, we won't be able to afford exploration and the NHS if we didn't pay benefits to cheats. Romanian on the front of the paper today made £25,000 whilst receiving benefits. That's what I call waste. Julia, have a guess at how many people, let alone Romanians, are getting £25,000 a year. Guess what? Not many. It's not as many as you think. Learning how to land on a comet so when a large comet is heading in the direction of Earth, we can land on it and destroy it in its tracks. This seems to be the repeating thing. Have I missed a story? Is there a huge comet hurtling towards Earth that we need to avoid? Ian, the weekly wages of a couple of Premiership footballers would cover the cost of keeping the 25,000 pensioners warm over winter. And the motorcycle racer on Celebrity is 4-time world champion Carl Fogarty. Wow, it's... Oh, it's... Ah, it's Carl Fogarty. He's 4 times world champion at what? Motorbikes. Oh, they have world champions at motorbikes? OK, here's an update from Billy on Terry Wogan's wages for children in need. He used to get paid £10,000. When Wogan was questioned about it, he said, OK, I won't. That wasn't bad, was it? I surprised myself with that. I've never done that before. And then there's other emails and texts from people saying nice things. Listen, we'll leave it there. Producer Joe will have a look to find out if Terry Wogan does indeed earn any money for children in need. And then we'll discuss the ethics of it one way or another tomorrow. I'm going to put my cards on the table and say he doesn't. But if he did, would it be such a bad thing? He's a big star. Should he have to give his time for free? We'll be back tomorrow at 9 to discuss it. Paul Franks is up next. Before that, though, let's get the travel.
We'll start with the northbound M42. It's slow after an accident earlier between Junction 10 for Tamworth and Junction 11 for Burton. All lanes back open, but queues back towards Junction 9 for the M6 toll. It's taken around half an hour to get through them as well. The northbound M6, that's slow through the roadworks between Junction 10A, the M54 and Junction 12 for Gailey. In Walsall, the A454 partially blocked by a broken down van at the roundabout that's Junction 10 for the M6. And a few queues now through Briley Hill as people head towards the Christmas light switch on at Merryhill. The A4036 and the A461 both struggling. If you can update us, call us on 08453 002 88.
Waking up the West Midlands with the latest news, sport, weather and travel updates. Pete Morgan at breakfast is back Monday morning from 6.
The voice of Birmingham and the Black Country.
BBC WM 95.6.
Good afternoon. 4 o'clock on BBC WM. Welcome to the show. I'll do my best to inform and entertain. The football phone in between 6 and 7. Richard Snake is joining me tonight.